It is game week from Bourbonnais. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, and pleased to be joined one of my favorite guys on the team. It's always fun to talk football and then some with Bears tight end.
He says that
Zach
with
Miller.
Every guest.
You're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, I know. All right. You gave it away. But the reason that I bring that up is, and it has nothing to do with football, anyone who read the Chicago Tribune sports section this week saw a very heartwarming story about, well, why don't you tell it? Because I think it was a great job by Dan Wiederer telling the story. But I thought that just the way this transpired, and it began 2 years ago. Bears had that huge win over Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Take it from there.
You know, we get the win in Tampa, and I'm walking off the field, and I see two little Bears fans sitting up front, and just was going to toss them my gloves and threw them my gloves and randomly get a thank you message, you know, whether it be a week or a month later, on through like one of my fan pages. And it was just reaching out saying, hey, thank you. They sent a picture. They put in like a shadow box and stuff. And then, you know, down the road, I get another message, you know, with bad news about this young man who's now been diagnosed with cancer. And the relationship kind of started from there. FaceTimed him, reached out a couple times. It was just kind of there for support. And that's kind of how it started.
Isn't it amazing nowadays how you can do something as innocently as throw your gloves up in the stands to a little kid? 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they would have no way of getting a message to you of just in thanks initially and then letting a trail of messages after that. That's when social media is a neat thing because you have the opportunity and you kind of feel rewarded because, hey, it's something you could go to your locker and get a stack of gloves, but here after gloves, it means a lot to any of the Bears fans.
Yep. That's one of the good things about social media.
Yeah.
It can get dangerous.
Right.
It can get ruthless, but that's one of the good things. And just a awesome situation for me to be a part of, to affect a young man like that in a situation that I don't think any kid should ever have to go through. So special for me as well.
A 9-year-old kid by the name of Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading in the article that I guess you were in your car.
Yeah, I was driving home.
And you get the message and you had to pull over.
Yeah.
Is that because you're a father? Is that because just a human being to have that kind? Because usually we are always under the assumption that, you know, athletes keep a wall from the outside world and you just concentrate on what you need to do. But this was very different.
Yeah. I mean, I was heading home from Chicago to Nebraska. And at that point, I had given Ryan's dad my number and just if he needed to reach out, he could. And he texted me. And he was going through some tough times, so I figured, yeah, I'll pull over and we'll FaceTime. It's a different connection. So I stopped at the world's largest truck stop in the middle of Iowa, pulled over.
On Route 80.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Right.
And just called him and just was hanging out over the phone, hanging out on FaceTime. So anything to brighten his day, you know, put a smile on his face through tough times.
Does it make you look at your own kids differently?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a tough thing. Cancer is never easy, regardless if it's your 80-year-old grandfather or if it's a 9-year-old kid. So you look at that and how it impacts certain families and you're somewhat involved in that, and you got kids of your own, so it just puts things into perspective.
Well, I think that's kind of the neat story of football because this past week at Family Fest, John Tarpey, the director of security for the Bears, had a young kid on the sideline that's also suffering some health issues. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of neat because, you know, we get a chance to talk to a young kid like that, and we treat him the same as if nothing was wrong, but you know, then, you know, for his experiences to be on the sideline or have interaction with a professional football player, it's neat to just see how for 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 years, you brighten up his life. And it's kind of a neat responsibility that you do take upon yourself being a professional athlete.
Certainly. And sometimes you don't understand that impact that you can have on them. It's not like it's – I don't want to like say it's awkward or whatever, you know. I mean, you got to understand the platform that you have.
Right.
I never had professional teams around when I was growing up.
University of Nebraska.
Now, when they were around, that was it. So that's what I was saying. Like, I understand what that can impact. And then you put the situation of what it really is, and you see it uplift them. It really uplifts yourself as well. So, you know, me being there for him was just as much as him being there for me throughout the whole situation.
Right.
On lesser levels, going through rehab or things like that, when he's got to go sit through chemo and surgeries and all the stuff he has to go through, the same time I'm rehabbing a foot injury. It means nothing. You know, he's battling for life. I'm battling to run on two
feet. You know, in a weird analogy, you know, when you talk about life, let's talk about football life, because mm-hmm. they always talk about, you know, the average annual career of a football player is 3.2 years. And whether you're a young guy that gets injured or a guy that's a veteran, there is life there that you're fighting for mm-hmm. in terms of what your football, your professional opportunity is. So it's kind of the same analogy,
absolutely.
But there is
yeah.
a little bit of a comparison.
Certainly is. So he helped me along through that situation. He was checking in. He's always checking in to see how I'm doing, text, call, FaceTime. Just good to be a part of it.
Because when you think about it, when you broke your foot last year in your life, that's mm-hmm. the worst thing that can possibly happen at that point. And then, you know, this kid is going through something that no one should have to mm-mm. go through, let alone a 9-year-old child.
And he crushed it. I mean, there's days where I'd call him and you look at him and I'm wondering how he even has a smile on his face. Talking about playing Madden, talking about stuff that, you know, itching to get back into playing football for his little league team. So he's got great energy, a great spirit.
In part because of the message that you're giving. What was the message?
One of the first times he was nervous about surgery. And that message for me was just, I've been through all that. I was nervous for my first surgery.
Was that the thumb?
Right knee, in high school.
So many. Oh, that was even before that.
List will go on. But it was just the message of that there's nothing to worry about. He's going to go to sleep. He's going to wake up. He's going to feel great. So that was just taking the worry away from him, putting him at ease. And it worked. And that's kind of what it's about.
Man, we got to take a timeout. But when we come back, we'll flip it around to the things that you've used as inspiration to have a 9-year career in the National Football League. Because I don't know about you, Tom, but you know, I'm reading the newspapers. I'm hearing people talking. I'm sure you see it on social media. That's the ugly side sometimes. People writing this guy off as though all of a sudden, did they watch that game against San Diego when Zach reintroduced himself to the National Football League? And I think that's the moment when Bears fans became aware of what you were capable of. So we'll take it from there to where we are right now. Next, with Bears tight end Zach Miller on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Don't get lost in the 7-Up Chicago Bears training camp crowd hoping for a chance at an autograph. Visit the Goodwill Store and Donation Center in Bourbonnais and pick up a Goodwill VIP autograph zone pass. Zach's Amen 85 Bear Tom Thayer along with Bears tight end Zach Miller here on Bears All Access. You know, Zach spent, I think, a good 20 to 40 minutes after practice today just signing autographs. It's a big deal for you.
I was never in that position to have a professional athlete around me, as I told you earlier. Now, with all these kids that come out here, and they have dreams of being that. They come to watch you play football. I feel like it's my responsibility to be a bright spot in their life for a quick minute.
Do you remember the first time that a kid came up to you and truly wanted your autograph because of something that you accomplished on the football field?
Yeah. And I remember it more so here than in Jacksonville. But it's a special feeling. And you wonder, you're like, I'm just a regular old nobody from the middle of Nebraska. You know, I'm not that cool.
Hey, Tom's a small-town kid from Joliet.
See, we know that. We got that small-town
kid. Did you ever get an autograph from somebody? Or do you remember?
Growing up?
Yeah.
Tommy Frazier, who was like my
quarterback
in Nebraska. He was like my idol growing up. Autograph from him, and now I actually golf with him in the off season when we're back, and I'm still like, Tommy, you're like my all-time favorite, so it's cool.
He's a big time player in the 90s.
Yeah,
Tommy Frazier.
He was a baller, so it's cool to be around him. But you know, signing autographs for the fans is it's fun for me too. As much as they love it, I love it just as much as they do.
Tom, who was your guy?
I don't know, probably as a young kid, but I remember coming to the Bears. I went and I asked Walter for his autograph. I had a picture of Walter Payton, and I know this is the one chance I'm going to get it. And it was like within the first week of training camp, I went in over to his locker and asked him if he could sign this for me. And then an hour later, you're standing in the huddle with him.
Exactly.
That's
amazing. I've done the same thing with some of the guys that I've played with. I have no shame. If I got something, I'm like, guy, will you sign this? Every home game we have, whoever's on the cover, I have them sign that for me.
You know, this whole post-game jersey exchange, do you do that?
I do that with close friends, you know, guys that I've either played football with on a prior team or, have just a really good relationship
with. Do you organize this before the game, or is it something you catch up after and go, hey, let me have your jersey and I'll give you mine?
Both. It's been random, and then it's been like like Mercedes Lewis, for instance, last year when we played the Jags, he was a huge influence on me, from my rookie year on. Took me under his wing in Jacksonville, and he's always been there for me. Even now, we talk on a weekly basis. He'll check in, sending me notes, sending me tape. He's just a really good friend of mine. So when it's all said and done, I'm going to have all these memories of guys that impacted my life and friendships that will carry on past the NFL, and it's a shrine for that.
It's different because, as an offensive lineman, you get a tailored jersey, and, it becomes sacred to you. You don't ever want to lose that jersey. But you guys are,
T-Med hates it. I think he's like, they put a limit on it now. A couple years ago, it just was free reign. Now, they're trying to put some rules in there. I think you can only do four, but he has to tailor all those things and get him back to normal.
You should have at least played in at least five games or, have some accomplishment. You can't be a guy that's, on a rookie that's never come off the
trying
bench yet.
Trying to go
yet.
Get Tom Brady's jersey?
Right. Right.
T-Med, by the way, is the Bears head equipment manager, Tony Medley.
Yes.
He's been here forever. And
great guy.
And when he talks, you have to listen, right?
Employee of the year up at Hallis Hall.
Absolutely.
As a player of prominence on the defensive side of the ball that you weren't friends with, had the kind of respect for you where he said, like Richard Sherman, I saw him a couple of weeks ago unveil this unbelievable collection of the best offensive players that he's ever defended. Has anyone come up to you?
No, I haven't had. They're going for the big fish, man. Most of those guys are probably, from my history here, we're probably going for like B. Marsh, Alshon, some of the A-listers. I'm down here. I'm not
C-lister. Has that been the secret to your success, though, the fact that you stay humble? I know you joke about it, but you don't look at yourself as an A-lister.
Nah. I told you I'm a little old dude from Weston, Nebraska. That's just how I am. That's how I was raised. I'm never going to be on that upper echelon. You know what I mean? Like, I have full confidence in my abilities and playing this football game, but it's never superstar status. I'm just as normal as everybody else.
Did you know coming into training camp that you were 100% ready to go?
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, you're having a great training camp. I mean, you're catching a lot of passes. The quarterbacks have good feet, and they're getting you out in space. Mm-hmm. They're getting out in space, and did you feel that, okay, training camp, man, I'm ready to go?
Yeah, and that was kind of the whole plan going forward, moving through OTAs, and that break was really going to be crunch time for me to prepare to be ready to come into training camp and for everybody else to see that he's ready to go. And that's the part of the process that we're at right now. Just come out every single day, get a little bit better at something each different day, get my feet back underneath me. There's a lot of stuff you can't replicate in that 5-6 week period away from football.
Well, even in OTAs,
yeah.
I mean, you're not going to be blocking defensive ends the way you can with full pads, helmet, and stuff on. And
so there's a lot of stuff that you can't do, so you have to start working on it from day one. And it's getting your feet right. It's getting used to the cut and your body back into shape for taking a little bit of hit. So happy with how it's progressed thus far.
We talked the other day. One of the things you said is that it's never been a question about your ability. It's always been just, unfortunately, mm-hmm. injuries have kind of always reared their ugly head. Last year was a football thing. There's nothing you can spend hours on injury prevention. Guy steps on your leg, it's going to happen. But what do you do? Because I'm sure you're at the cutting edge of technology and all the medicine that what do you each offseason, like for example, this offseason, what was your plan of attack to put yourself in the best possible position to endure the season?
I got a great group of people actually back home in Nebraska that helped me as far as getting my body back realigned. You know, I got custom orthotics that are molded specifically to my feet, and there's a science into it of how they manipulate that and raise to put me in position. I do a bunch of PRIs called postural restoration, different exercises to kind of just reset your body. Whole bunch of science that goes into it, but I just know that it makes me feel good.
It's all that matters.
And there's just a ton of things rolling out, eating right. The older I get, the better I have to diet. It's a process of doing things, but if you want to still play at a high level, it's necessary. And that's how it goes.
If you follow him on social media, you're big on the boxing too, I noticed.
Yeah, boxing is an unbelievable challenge for cardio workout. Without the kind of pounding or the wear and tear, as far as running, doing different things, running on treadmills or whatever. So I just like to sup. Plus, it's fun. I don't ever get hit back. Oh, so
that would make it fun.
Yeah. But it's a good way to change it up and kind of break up your
training.
Does
that make you have more interest in the Conor McGregor?
Mayweather
fan.
I've been a huge Conor McGregor fan since he came out. I wish that he would be able to win that fight, but I don't think that's going to be. I don't think that'll happen.
You know, you got so many different job requirements because of your abilities. You line up as a wide receiver. You line up at an online tight end, backside tight end, fullback, H-back. When you start getting back involved in the mix, is there any one thing that's more difficult than the other? And, you know, you're comfortable catching the ball. You're comfortable on the move, but what are the blocking requirements that you have? What takes you a little time to get back into it?
Today was – we're backed up. We're in a backed up situation on the minus one, and I'm in the wing, and I have to slice block across the formation against Akeem Hicks.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's never
this
fun.
This is a matchup issue here. That's what you got to work on.
Well, the worst thing about that is if they say repeat the play.
Oh, no.
So then you're still lined up in there. Akeem knows you're coming, and then you got to try to do it all over
again.
And
most of those guys are really good with, you know, taking a little bit off because we're not, you know, we're on the same team at the end of the day. And in a real life situation, I'm cutting him.
Right.
Can't do that in practice. Right. So he takes care of me. I take care of him.
Well, that's the nice thing about your first option to go and play it against a different opponent, like in your preseason games. Hey, man, this is live to the whistle.
It's real football, right. and you can get into protecting yourself a little bit more. But that's a challenging thing for me, you know, coming back across formation against guys who are a little bit bigger than I am.
Little bit bigger. He's listed. This is listed at 6'5", 332 pounds. Not Zach. That's Akeem Hicks.
Right.
And it's not like you're a small guy.
Oh, no. And he's moving, so.
And, you know, that's the thing about Akeem. He practices hard.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's not going to be a guy that's taking a play off or, you know, relaxing and stuff. He's going
to
bring it.
It was real today, and it was actually good for me to feel that. It gives you a little more confidence
that
I'm on my way to being ready for this thing to happen for real, so. It's been good, but I do not like doing that.
All right, now you think of a, you know, 6'5", 335-pound Akeem Hicks, and then you think of a guy like Von Miller, which is a completely different size matchup playing similar positions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have a little bit more confidence in going against a guy like Von Miller? Even though he's quick, there's kind of more of a even size matchup?
Just a better matchup to where he's very quick off the line. I'm also quick off the line as well, so it's kind of who's going to – because there's when we played him last year or 2 years ago, he's dynamic as they make him. But there's instances where you can – if you get on it quick, you can hold on and win for the down. But those matchups for me are better than coming back against 330 pounds.
Right. Yeah, there aren't many tight ends in football that could handle a guy who's 6'5", 325 pounds. Let's take a break. When we come back, you mentioned Conor McGregor earlier. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe in recent Bears history, you used Conor McGregor as inspiration for your teammates. We'll discuss next with Bears tight end Zach Miller on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune in to Inside the Bears, starring Anthony Spice Adams and Lauren Screedon, every Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago and Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 in Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. This week on the show, Spice Adams tours Bears training camp. Cam Meredith discusses his breakout 2016 season. And I'm told you're going to see Mike Ditka in a way that you have never seen him before. Now, I don't know if that's true for Tom.
I was there when he was doing this.
So is that true? Is yes. Give us a little hint of what fans are in store for.
He was in one of the most unexpected places that you would ever imagine a Mike Ditka to be in. And then there are Bears fans that are shown up. So when they realize who they're seeing, it's just the reactions to the people is really funny.
I mean, think about this guy, Tom Thayer. Played for Mike Ditka, Don Shula, George Allen, among the coaches.
Dick Stanfellow, our offensive line coach, inducted into the Hall of Fame last
year. Amazing.
Legends in the game.
And when I was thinking about this yesterday, when I played my last year for the Dolphins, Joe Green was the defensive line coach.
See?
So you're talking about, you know, having five Hall of Famers, you know, being a part of the coaching staffs that you grew your career through.
That's awesome.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is Bears tight end Zach Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach plays for John Fox, who has this ritual before games. Every week he picks a player to go and speak to the team, kind of a motivational thing. And, you know, there's some players who are good at talking publicly. I think you're one of them. There are other players that probably are not the best. You really learn about your teammates in these sessions, right?
Yeah, well, here's the thing about that. And it's probably one of the toughest crowds to speak in front of because that's your peers.
Right.
And you care the most about what outside of football, I don't really care about what someone else's opinion is. But your peers, that matters to you. You want to deliver something that isn't over the top and they don't look at you and you think you're corny. You want to connect with them, but you want to be real as well. And that's a challenge when Coach Fox says, hey, you got the speech this week.
When does he give you the heads up that, hey, you're going to be in front of the room at the team hotel the night
like
before?
Like Friday or Saturday.
Oh, so there's not a lot of time. No,
and maybe early in the week if he wants to give you a heads up. There's been guys who have turned it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it's normally, you know, a day or two.
You better be an A-lister if you're turning that down. I'm just saying, you know.
It is hard, though. Speaking in front of your peers in the team atmosphere, it's really hard.
You got to be real with it.
So your speech, and we mentioned you're a big MMA guy, right?
Yeah.
And Conor McGregor is a guy that you get inspiration from because of what he's been able to accomplish. Yeah.
It was, I think that one was 2 years ago.
Okay.
I'd have to recall what last year's one was. 2 years ago, Conor McGregor's fighting Josie Aldo. And, you know, at that point, he's kind of climbing the ranks and he's turning into this global superstar. His thing is he's got such entertainment value with his delivery. But his mantra for that camp or, you know, his coming on the scene of the MMA was, we didn't come here to take part. We came here to take over. And I love that. I was like, man, that's one of the coolest sayings. He had it up on the wall, like painted in a mural. And it was perfect timing because Coach Fox asked me to do the player speech that week. And I was like, what am I going to talk about? What are you going to say? You go through all these things. How's it going to play out? I write notes, read it, write notes, read it. I'm like, good God, this is going to be bad. And then when I saw that, you know, you kind of show the little clip. Break the ice, Connor, and he has so much swag with how he delivers things, and just parlay off of that, man. You can't just come here and be happy, you know, that you're here. We got to do something with it while we're here, and that was kind of the message. It went well.
Was there a time that another player got up in front of the room, and you know, I don't know how seriously you guys take those speeches, but one that truly inspired you?
They're all pretty good, to be honest with you. And they're different parts. You know, Alshon's not much of a talker, so he just kind of goes up and he was just kind of as Alshon as he could be.
Right.
You know, Jay had, you know, these are past players, so Jay had like quantum physics up there.
Doesn't that figure?
Like, what the heck is
right.
this? You know, Sam Acho's done a great job. Mitch Unrein. There's been a Willie. Those they just go straight. straight to no BS. Let's just go out here and do this thing.
I could see Willie being able to go up there and ad-lib an inspirational thing, speech the night before. And
there's been a lot of good. You're not going up and delivering a. You know what I mean? You're sitting there in front of your boys. You just.
You don't have to be Newt Rockne.
No, right. Not at all. And that's kind of once you do that and you understand it, takes a little bit of pressure off.
Does he do it for the preseason games too, or just regular season games?
You know what? I don't know. I think it might just be regular season.
It's go time in the regular season.
Yeah,
that's when it's real. Well, I was thinking, you know, here you getting ready for Thursday night's game. Wednesday night, someone's
going
to be.
Hopefully, it's not me. We better wait for week one for that one, Coach.
Is it a different year in that Bears locker room because there's so many changes from the group that closed out last season?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the feeling with this group of guys is it's all unknown. And for us, I don't feel like there's a ton of expectations. And I love it.
But, you know,
we don't need it.
The unique thing about this team is, you know, for you, for example, you know, you're the leader of the tight end room and you have a guy waiting in the wings like Adam Shaheen. Mm-hmm. What you can teach Adam Shaheen within the time that you spend with him, it's not your job to teach him, but there's so much you can teach him.
Absolutely.
And I think every single position, Quinton Demps can go to the safeties and teach all these young safeties about the NFL, and Akeem Hicks can teach guys like Jonathan Bullard in the defensive line, and and Willie Young can teach Leonard Floyd. Just up and down the line, there is experience at every single position that you veterans can take these young guys who are going to contribute to the success of this team now and in the future and help them out.
Absolutely. And I'm not one of those guys that's not willing to do that. You know, there's some guys who they don't want to give away their tricks of the trade. They don't want to – there are people worried about their jobs. I'm not. I'm going to come out and play football.
Where does that come from? Where does the inner confidence
– I don't know. I mean, that's just how I think I was raised. And what else – like what – the only thing I can worry about is how I play ball. I can't worry about who's drafted. I can't worry about who we pick up. I go out and do my job. And if I do my job well enough, I'm able to play football. And if I don't, then that's how the business works out. So all I got to do is worry about playing football, playing well, and I feel like I can still do
that. But you are a success story. You're not looking to succeed. You're looking to, you know, for the way your career continues. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's not, you know, you're not looking for you are, man. You've done it. You've overcome it, you know, and you've been able to provide a lot of spark to this football team with your willingness to take on a lot of obligations at your position.
Yeah, and that's awesome for me. I love that, to be part of different stuff, to move around. I take pride in that, you know, being all over the football field, kind of being another – I've been in the offense for a while, so I can be a voice out there aside from Mike, aside from all the other quarterbacks, and help people get – this is a complex thing with every moving piece. Sometimes it's tough to get everybody in a certain position, and I take pride in being able to help get things lined up, get things run, and just be another asset for our football team all over the field.
Earlier you said Mercedes Lewis, the veteran tight end of the Jaguars, was the guy who took you. If he hadn't done that, would you be – you know what I mean? Did that influence who you became?
Certainly. You know, for me to come in as a rookie, drafted, and him to just say, I'm going to help you from day one. I hadn't played the position, trying to go through that transition from quarterback to tight end, and he helped me along the way. I had so much to learn. From the ground up, I could run routes and do athletic stuff, but I couldn't play the position as a whole. He taught me all his little tricks. Couldn't do them as well as he could because he's a monster and he's a freak athlete. But he did that from day one, and that's kind of how everything's going with Adam now, man. I'm giving him all I can all the time. I'm watching him, giving him props when he's doing things great, and then just kind of saying you could do this a little better. This will help you. Trying to keep him safe because he's
6'7".
He's a mile high. I want him to bring that down and play lower and be aggressive, but I think he's going to be a heck of a football player.
Well, I want to hear your thoughts on his nutrition. We'll discuss that next with Bears tight end Zach Miller here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock Bears news, videos, photos, and training camp coverage straight from the Chicago Bears Network. Download the Chicago Bears official app presented by Verizon and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest Bears content direct to your device. Zach Miller is part of the Bears social media. You're all over the place, right? I mean, you have... I know you have a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an Instagram?
Are
you
Twitter and Instagram, yep.
What are they?
ZMiller86.
And fans really, I mean, they get into it with you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're very honest sometimes.
Very much so.
What's the craziest thing?
Oh, man. That's
Can't say it on the air.
Not safe for work. Not safe for the air.
But there are times where, and you have a good attitude about it, I think.
Here's the thing. When you have fans, they're fanatics. That's what some of them go overboard. Your best response is to kill them with kindness.
That's what he does. So he'll retweet some of the nastiest things that people say about him that's clean, but still things that aren't, that they'd never say to his face.
Never.
Like if that fan walked up to you and saw you in person, they'd never say that.
And that's the ugly side of social
media.
See,
I'm too thin-skinned for social media because I would overreact and then I would get into a confrontation over a typewriter.
Really, doesn't matter to me, man. That's keyboard, man. You can hide behind a keyboard all day long. If they saw you in person, be like, hey, Tom, please, could take a picture.
Well, you know what it is? It's weird because when you're on a team and you're in front of your peers and you're being criticized in front of everybody, you have to have thick skin ultimately to succeed inside that room with either your tight ends or your entire team. But then when you get someone on the outside world who's never met you, never knows you, doesn't know some of the struggles you faced in order to succeed the way you have, and then they type all this, about you. It's just unfair.
That's what they're trying to get, though. They want to get a rise out of you.
That's Bears tight end Zach Miller. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zim. It's Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I think the toughest thing is after games, especially when you guys are on the road. So there's that cooling off period. You get dressed. You go on the bus, and there's a waiting period before the buses start to move. And I feel like that's when you really have to control your emotions because then you're scrolling through. You're bored. You start scrolling through the phone or the tablets, and it can get very dangerous at
sometimes
that point.
Sometimes it's best to wait, especially if you had an unfortunate weekend and you're on the road. And I'll tell you what is even worse is that walk from the sideline to the locker room.
Yeah.
Those teams are – the fans for away teams, reckless. So you get some nasty stuff on the way there, but – you catch an L on the weekend on the road, better off just give yourself a little bit of time before you hop on Twitter and start hitting send.
That's a veteran move by you there, and hopefully some of the young guys are listening to you saying that right now. One of the young guys on the team is in your tight ends room, and that's Adam Shaheen. And Tom, I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you already know this, but this guy loves Chipotle so much so that he now has – Chipotle has given him a loyalty card.
Yep.
So it's basically he can go anywhere, any Chipotle in North America, walk in, and they give him whatever he wants, essentially for free.
Oh, yeah.
They now pay him to eat.
He gets a meal per day for like...
forever, I think.
I love Chipotle.
We're going to have to talk to him. Here's the thing.
I need to talk to Adam.
He's a little worried about his rookie dinner that's coming up.
I'm taking you guys to Chipotle.
So he's like, Zach, can I cater Chipotle? I'm like, bro. I go to Chipotle anytime I want. We're going to a steakhouse, and we're going to have some fun.
Yes.
I'm going to get some good food. And I said, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. He's like, well, you got to let me know. I got to call my financial advisor before we do this. So he's all worked up about it.
I mean, he
it.
Could take you to an upscale Mexican restaurant.
No,
you know,
man.
Like, no, you,
oh, he's a second rounder. You're eating good
you're
that
We're
night.
Eating good. Right. And I can't wait. He's like, how about a picnic? Can we do Kentucky Fried Chicken? I'm like, bro. It's just going to get worse. You keep on throwing out these ideas, it's going to just compound the whole situation.
It's luckily that he's in the tight end room where there's only five or six. You know, you're a rookie offensive lineman. You got 14 guys that eat like 28. Mm-hmm. Then you're talking about a hefty bill.
My rookie year, I was a sixth-round pick, and we did the whole offense.
Oh, no. In Jacksonville?
Yeah.
All
skill players. Sorry, skill players.
Right.
So keepers, receivers, yeah. Yeah, running backs, tight ends. That's a hefty bill.
Group, yeah.
That was the first time I spent a lot of money. I remember calling my wife. I was like, "You are going to about this right. bill.
What's our credit card limit?
This bill is high.
What did it come out to?
Mine?
Yeah, you're
over $6,000.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy for one meal. I mean, one meal. I know that was it a few years ago. I think it was the Bears receivers, one of the position groups. You may have been around when this happened, but they kind of tricked the rookies. And they went to the server and made up a fake bill, and it was significantly more. And you know, one of the guys I remember was telling us that. I don't remember who, but he was calling his wife and saying, you know, hey, I think because it was over the limit that they had on their credit card
when
at the
declined.
Time.
Well, you know, one time when I was playing for the Bears, Coach Ditka had the entire offensive line on his TV show on a Thursday night that he did with Johnny Morris. And so after we did the show, Ditka gave Jimbo Covert his credit card and said, I want you to take the offensive line out to dinner. And we went to Lowry's. And we ate like kings, and we got takeout, and we drank like kings. And it was a pretty hefty bill. And Jimbo was the one that had to submit the credit card, sign it, and bring him the bill.
Coach.
Yeah, well, they're both Pitt guys, so it was the best guy to do it.
Now you know why he does all those speaking engagements and all those commercials. I mean, he's still probably paying
for that
right now.
Meal.
So Shaheen told me that if it was up to him, and he got the approval from the coaches, the sports science staff here with the Bears, that he would eat at Chipotle before every game. That would be his pregame meal, about 3 to 4 hours before the game. And he said he likes to play on a full stomach.
Oh, man. I can't eat before games. Can't do it. Now, Chipotle is not terrible. I mean, it's not
like
it's...
Yeah, but he's not just having one
burrito. Yeah, I mean, he's like 3-pound burritos. Right. we have to cut that in half at least, but he's still getting some.
Is he getting the
some
bowls
raw
now?
Natural food? I don't know. I mean, I imagine he's got that just double fisted massive
well,
burrito.
I'm more concerned about being full before because you know it's like when you play Monday Night Football, you really have to be wise how you eat your pregame meal because the worst thing to do is to be yawning in the locker room a half hour before kickoff. Because you're so full from everything you ate at the pregame buffet.
And you need to take a nap real quick.
You're going to have to talk to the youngster about that pre-thinking of, he's going to have to be a special teams contributor and he's going to have to be a position player. So he may have a little bit more on his plate than playing out there with a full stomach.
You make a great point. I don't know if you guys saw this, but over the weekend, you know, they had the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremonies, and Terrell Davis was at the podium, and he was talking a very nice speech, and he was a sixth-round pick, too. Nothing was expected out of him in Denver. And I guess his rookie year, the first game they played was in Tokyo, and halftime rolls around. He hadn't played, so the hot dogs in the locker room. He's thinking, you know, I'm not playing. So he starts, you know, he fills up on hot dogs, right? All of a sudden, someone got hurt. So they throw him in the game on special teams. Full stomach, full of hot dogs. Goes out there, blows a guy up on special teams. And it caught the attention from that point forward of everyone on the team. It began a Hall of Fame career.
I wonder if he ate hot dogs every game after that.
I think in everybody's career, you get that instant of notification that you're in the game, and that's how you do from that point on. I was sitting on the bench against the Minnesota Vikings. The offensive line coach came up and said, hey, so-and-so got hurt. You're in the game. Boom. That's
yeah, but I guarantee you, your stomach wasn't full.
No, but, you know, football isn't a long notification game unless someone gets hurt the week and then they can't answer the bell the next week. Then you have a week preparation.
You got to be ready.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that, just thrown in the fire, and you got to read, react, you got to go.
Right,
you don't have time to worry.
I want to find out when your moment came in the National Football League. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back next because Mike Glennon told us a story of his first ever snap in a preseason game. You were there for that, and it was a big time. It was a big time play in Tampa Bay. If they repeat this on Thursday, crowd's going to be going nuts at Soldier Field. We'll discuss next on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Zach Miller, with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thursday's preseason game against the Denver Broncos is brought to you by United Airlines. The first 25,000 fans entering Soldier Field will receive a Bears magnetic schedule courtesy of United Airlines. United proudly flying the Bears for over 40 years. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears tight end Zach Miller is also here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So everyone has that moment. And you never know when it's going to come. I mean, I guess you do if you're a first rounder. It kind of writes itself. But when you're not an A-lister, as you like to say, Zach, when did your moment come? Did you know it was coming?
You know, my moment here in Chicago is obviously the Monday nighter, the one-hander. Before that, probably one of my, I think it was my second year in Jacksonville, we were playing Houston. And for some reason, I always played well against Houston. And we ran a little yig motion in and out to kind of get coverage. And I was matched up against Brian Cushing. And I had an option route. And if I could beat him inside, I knew it was going to be a home run. So we get it. I come in motion. I see him. We're matched up. It's
perfect.
Perfect. And got off on toes to hot, shake him and get inside. Catch this thing. I think it was like 60-some yards. I got caught at like the 8-yard line by a guy by the name of Bryce McCain, who I trained with coming out. Dude ran like a 4.2. Now, if my guy Mercedes would have put a hand on him, I'd have been good. But this guy catches me and horse collars me. That's one of those moments where it's like, okay, I can do this. You get a guy like Brian Cushing matched up, and we get in space, and I can start to play this game a little bit. So that's one of them. And
what's it like when you come back to the sideline after something like that, where you make a play? Because that's all you're looking to do at that stage of your life.
It's awesome, but it's also not good when you get caught.
Yeah.
But did Cushing ever say anything to you? Because Cushing's the kind of guy that can lose it out there.
Yeah.
And he can probably, you know, if you ever get a chance to get matched up again, he'd say, hey, it's not going to happen again.
No.
Or,
and then that's kind of another moment in that game. I remember we're down on the goal line and we're running power. Now, I'm not the guy at that point to be running power behind. We're matched up, wing, me and Mercedes in a wing, and I have to block down on Cushing and I fold him. I'm like, oh, I can do this too. So there's a couple instances in that game where I'm like, all right, I could probably continue to work on this and be good at it.
With the Bears, you mentioned the moment was, because there was a time in your NFL life where the injuries kind of hit you, and there was, what, about 2 years?
It piled up.
Right before.
2.5 years in a row.
And then you get that opportunity against the San Diego Chargers, and nothing can prepare you to catch a ball with one hand diving. And a Jay Cutler fastball, nonetheless.
Hater. And I was a little frustrated through that game because – you know, the way it was playing out and the personnel we were in. And I remember being on the sideline and telling Frank Smith, our tight end coach, you know, verbalizing to him, like, I need to be on the football field. Like, I'm a play, like, I'm a playmaker. And he's like, Frank's really good with letting me express myself and then calming me down. And it just so happened that, I think Marty got tired towards the end of that drive and needed one. Mm-hmm. I get thrown in that situation and I bailed myself out because I was talking.
Right.
You know, I'm a playmaker. I need to do this and then get the opportunity and actually come through with this. So that's one of those moments on that stage. It's almost surreal. So,
you know, the adhesiveness of the gloves that you guys wear today, when you get a fastball like that and you get the good grip, but do the gloves, the technology of the gloves help you? Because
I
see
think so.
From high school kids to college kids to the NFL to everybody wearing them, and sometimes you see an incredible catch made in, you know, the technology helps.
Certainly. I mean, I remember playing back when you had the leather gloves.
Yeah.
I'd like to wear those even when it got cold out. I'd put, like, when I was in high school, I put the leather gloves on and wear them around. I thought it was cool. But you got, with that stickiness on there, if you hit the ball just right, I mean, if you time that thing and you catch it just right and you kind of give it a little give when you catch it, you could pluck that thing out of the air.
That was a life changer. I mean, when you think about it, that, because it wasn't just an introduction to Bears fans, that was a nationally televised game. So everyone, and it's the kind of highlight they always showed over and over, and why wouldn't you? I mean, that I can't imagine what your phone was like after that game.
It took me, and here I am with, like, I probably had like 300-400 texts, and I responded to every one of them on the way home.
Wow.
So it took me from all the way from San Diego to here, and you know what the annoying thing about that is? you type on, you hit one and respond, and then you got to scroll all the way back down to the bottom again. So I might go through like 120 of them.
That is a problem I've never had.
And do
wow.
it again. But
so
you, know,
you weren't erasing them as
nah,
you were.
I should have. But you have those people in your life that they care enough to reach out with a moment like that. You know, for me to reach out and say thank you and appreciate the support's nothing.
You know, how many snaps does Zach Miller need at this point in his career during the preseason to be ready for the Atlanta Falcons?
Oh man, I don't know. That hasn't been talked about yet.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about you. What do you think about, you know, I mean, you know, how far along are you along in your preparation that, you know, when the regular season gets here, you're going to be ready.
Yeah.
But what do you need out of the preseason?
I need a little bit, not a ton. I don't want to overdo it, which there's not going to be a point of overdoing it, but I just want to be crisp and ready to go, you know, for week one when Atlanta comes into town. But you know, you get a series of two in the first game and, you know, maybe build on that. I want my conditioning to be game ready.
Right.
So you need a little bit of that.
You know what's weird is no matter how good of condition you think you're in, you go out there that first series and you can't even get a breath.
Can't.
It's like you've never even ran a step.
I know.
You know?
That's the honest to God truth about it, and it never changes
right.
from year one to year nine. You could be in phenomenal shape, and you're still going to be and Dallas putting you in motion and moving you all over the place. I've run 30 yards, we ain't even snapped the ball.
All right, we'll leave on this thought because it's a really cool one. You're one of the few Bears that has previous experience with Mike Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
His first game, 2009 as a rookie?
2013.
Yep. As a rookie. What happened? Do you remember?
I don't.
First preseason game, apparently.
Was it to Tom Crabtree
yes.
catch?
It was like a 60-plus yard
yeah.
play, right?
And, yeah, I love Tom, but if he could have unhooked the plow that he was pulling, he would have scored. But broken play out of the gate. I think it was a corner out. Wide corner. Mike finds him, and Tom was taking off running. He got hawked like I did against the Texans.
Yeah, hopefully the Bears receivers are getting ready so that
yeah.
doesn't happen to them. Zach, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure spending an hour with you talking some football and life.
Thank you, guys.
Bears tight end Zach Miller. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.